This week on Potlatch, an interview with Mr. Sam Keto, who's the president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, a report on an amendment to the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act by Senator Ted Stevens, and some beautiful ladies speaking in Inupiaq, Yupik, English, and sign language. Speaking in sign language on the radio?
Turning into snow. When I told her that I loved her, she turned my dream world into love. So we lived on together. Seasons come and seasons go. Winter love, sow seeds of love in early spring, then wait all through the summer to see the harvest fall can bring. Then we'll both love him through the winter, help him through his spring of life. Grow into a man and find himself a wife. Now the offspring of our love found his shelter through the summer and made his way of life to make it through the winter. Winter came and pushed your summers out of season and took away my winter love, leaving me without a reason. Seasons come and seasons go. Yes, I lost my winter love on a morning in December.
That was Cody Bearpaw, who recently toured parts of Alaska for the AFN Health Affairs. He's a Chippewa actor and musician from the Lower 48. Shortly after being named president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, Sam Keto was interviewed by Jeff Kennedy of KUAC.
Kind of, you know, just briefly, my background is one of electronics. I went to school in New York, and I went to work with RCA Service Company, and stayed with them, transferred a few places with them, but the position I had with them was at Gilmore Creek, which was a satellite tracking station right outside of Fairbanks here. And I moved from there. I was also president of the Fairbanks Native Association in town. I moved from the from RCA to executive director of the Fairbanks Native Association in 1971, the latter part of 71. I moved to the Tanana Chiefs Conference as the executive director in 72 and stayed there until I was employed by Doyon Unlimited as the executive vice president. So that basically takes me to the point that I'm at right now. But I think it's a challenging position, but I just don't think that one looks at it as a permanent lifetime job. The board of directors of AFN has to, you have to be hired on a year-to-year basis. So there's no contract between me and AFN, and I suppose that I'm looking at somewhere right around 2 years, or if it works, maybe just a little bit longer. But I'm not looking for any extended tenure within the office. It's a tremendous challenge to assume a position such as has been offered to me, and I just hope I rise to the challenge. And looking over the past operation of Roger Lyons, to say that he has done a very commendable job. It's an excellent job, and I just hope to rise to the challenge. And I do not foresee any major changes within the organization, because I basically believe in the philosophy that Roger had when he was running the organization. So anything that would change in the organization, to reflect the change of leadership, would probably be minor and just a different way of operating it internally. But the major thrusts are going to stay the same, and we'll press on the same course for the immediate future.
We asked Sam to tell us how the statewide Native organization began.
The major issue at the time of the foundation of the Alaska Federation of Natives was the land claims, and the first annual convention was held in 1966, and from that point on, they had annual meetings, and the first president that's known throughout the state, obviously, was Emil Noddy. And subsequent presidents were Don Wright, Willie Hensley, and, of course, Roger Lang, who's just resigned. And briefly, I think in a capsule form, AFN founded to solve the issue of land claims, but additionally to delve into areas of concern for the Native peoples of Alaska, and that was the areas of health, education, and social services.
Kito explains how the AFN relates to regional and local Native organizations.
Yeah, there's a multifaceted relationship within AFN. The board of directors of AFN are appointed by the regional corporations, and they are the board of directors for the whole organization. What we have done is divided the operation into two distinct areas, and one is the land claims area and the other is the human resources area, and they both have an executive vice president in charge of it, both of their operations. And the executive vice president in charge of the human resources department has as an advisory board to him the representatives from each of the associations, which are the nonprofit organizations representing each regional corporation involved in AFN. So we have a relationship that integrates both the profit-making corporations in each region and the nonprofit associations within each region as the decision-making process and the implementation of the board's directive or the advisory committees.
Way up north,
north to Alaska.
Way up north,
north to Alaska.
North to Alaska. I go north for Russia's home. North to Alaska. I go north for Russia's home.
Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy, too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza Gold below that old white mountain to just a little southeast of Nome. Sam crossed the majestic mountains to the valleys far below. He talked to his team of huskies as he mushed on through the snow. With the northern lights a-running wild in the land of the midnight sun. Yes, Sam McCord was a mighty man in the year of 1901. Where the river is winding, big nuggets they're finding. North to Alaska,
we go north, the rush is on.
Way up north,
to Alaska,
way up north,
to Alaska.
North to Alaska,
we go north,
the rush is on.
North
to Alaska,
we go north,
the rush is on. George turned to Sam with his gold in his hand.
Said, Sam, you're looking at a lonely, lonely man. I'd trade all the gold that's buried in this land for one small band of gold to place on sweet little Jenny's hand.
'Cause a man needs a woman to love him all the time.
Remember, Sam, a true love is so hard to find. I'd build for my Jenny a honeymoon home
below that old white mountain, just a little southeast of Nome, where the river is winding,
big nuggets they're finding.
North
to Alaska,
I go north,
the rush is on.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up north.
A golden oldie from Johnny Horton, the North to Alaska. I kind of wonder if the reference to Big Sam and speaking about Sam at AFN has anything to do with the reason why anybody picked this song in the first place. Getting back to the program here, Senator Ted Stevens is trying to make amendments to the Alaska Native Land Claims Act. He tells us what changes he wants made.
We've got a provision to extend the enrollment deadline to make certain that those who, for one reason or another, were unable to register some 1,000 eligible natives will be included in this settlement. We've now established an escrow fund for revenues received by the Department of Interior for activities on federal lands that will be deeded to the natives under the settlement. We have a provision to pay interest on the Alaska Native Fund while they're held. This will be paid on each quarter. We've got a provision in this omnibus amendment bill to extend the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission until June of 1979. We want to allow village corporations in the same region to merge with the regional corporations or with other corporations in the same region for efficiency. We want to exempt the stock of any merger or consolidation from the registration requirements of the SEC because there's no reason to have that expense until 1991 at least, when the stock becomes transferable. We've got grants to the four Native corporations that did not get advance assistance, Juneau, Kodiak, Kenai, and Sitka, to help carry out their land selection development program. I do believe that it's a necessary act in order to carry out the intention of Congress.
Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. Last July, we attended the Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics contest. You'll hear highlights of that contest after you hear a song from someone who's beautiful. Her name is Buffy St. Marie.
Who's got a head ahead of my tracker, the raven? Who's got the prairie sun in every smile? Who's got good credit yet with all Mother Nature? Ooh, native North American child. Who's got the rhythm of the universe inside her? Who taught the pilgrims how to make it in the wild?
That was Buffy St. Marie in Native North American Child. Now to the last year's Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics and Beauty by the Bushel. Introducing the ladies will be two former contestants, Dee Olin of Ruby and Mary Keller of Nome. The first contestant we hear is Miss Arctic Circle, Arlene Curtis.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
The second young lady is going to be Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood from Nome, the Noreen Walters.
Tonight I wanted to demonstrate Eskimo yo-yos.
This is the Aboriginal ways that the Eskimo used to catch birds a long time ago. You get it going and throw it up in the air, and it would wrap around the bird and bring it down. Or it would be on the ground and it would keep it down.
Now we have Miss Bethel, Alice Nikolai, who is sponsored by You Picked Up Vista Incorporated.
Hello, everybody.
Next we have Ginny, Guinevere Lynn Nathan, Miss Cook Inlet Native Association, and we're going to have her interpret for her, and Ginny is going to speak with you, communicate with you in sign language.
I am Simpkin from Metlakatla. I am happy to be here at the university in Fairbanks. I will be going to the University of Fairbanks to school. I made my own clothes and my shoes. My grandmother helped me with my shoes.
That was Miss Cook Inlet Native Association, Ginny Nathan. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Miss Top of the World, Charlene Sekea.
Queen Candace last year. I came here to go try out because there was no Queen Candace at Barrow last year. Thank you.
Next we have Akoyakan Athabaskan, Miss Tina Long. She's representing the Fairbanks Native Association.
I'm very happy to be here tonight to represent Fairbanks Native Association, and I'd like to tell you a little about it. The Fairbanks Native Association originated in 1967 with five founders. They now have over 100 staff members and serve over 4,000 Fairbanks Natives. I am very happy to be representing them. Thank you.
We have also with us tonight a girl from Barrow by the name of Dora Edwardson, who is Miss Arctic Slope Regional Corporation.
Our next young lady is also Koyakan Athabaskan, and she's representing Tanana. She's holding the title of Miss Nuchilawoya. Kathleen Peters.
I'd just like to say that I'm very proud to be Miss Nuchilawoya, and I'm very glad to be here tonight. And I'd like to tell you what Nuchilawoya means. It means where the two rivers meet and go into one, which is the Yukon. Also, I'd like to tell you that I'm very honored and glad to know my great-grandfathers, who were great hunters and dancers, who lived along the Yukon, and who are very helpful to my culture. Thank you.
These Olympics are under the title of World Eskimo Indian Olympics. This year, we were fortunate enough to have with us a girl from Canada. Her name is Gladys Alexi. She is Miss Northern Games.
Thank you. I would like to thank all of you for welcoming us here in Fairbanks for the Olympics. Thanks.
These ladies and gentlemen are the girls who are vying for the title of Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics. Later this evening, we will have them all return to the stage and announce Miss Congeniality, the second runner-up, the first runner-up, and the girl who will take the crown from Maryland and reign as your next Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics. Thank you. I would like to tell all of you, if you don't know, that this girl is not just a regular beauty queen. This girl is to represent all of the Alaskan and Indian Native tribes in Alaska and Canada. And she is not just judged on beauty. She's asked questions about her local Native customs and traditions, and is judged on her speaking ability and on her Native dress. We are going to now ask all of the girls to come up and line up in front of us. These are the contestants who have competed for the title of Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics. We would like to thank the following people for gifts and money that they have given for the queen and her two runners-up. Gift certificates were given by Potpourri, Nordstrom's, Stevie's, Earthways Leather, Eskimo Museum, Arctic Village, Makluk Shop. Various education grants were given also, and a couple of the people who did give would like to remain confidential, but they know who they are, and we thank them. Also, the Fairbanks Office Supply and Alaska International Air have contributed money to go to an educational scholarship that the Queen will be receiving. Flowers came from College Floral and Gift and Flower Basket and Anne's Greenhouse.
Okay. Contestant number one down on our far right is Miss Arctic Circle, Arlene Curtis. Contestant number two is Noreen Walters, Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood. Contestant number three is Alice Nikolai, Miss Bethel. Contestant number four is Ginny Nathan, Miss Cook Inlet Native Association. Contestant number five is Charlene Sakiyakak, Miss Top of the World. Contestant number six, Miss Tina Long, Miss Fairbanks Native Association. Contestant number seven, who would like everybody to acknowledge her parka that was made by her grandmother out of sealskin, Dora E. Edwardson, Miss Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. Okay. Contestant number eight, Miss Nuchalawoya, Kathleen Ann Peters. Contestant number nine from Canada, Gladys Alexi, Miss Northern Games. We would now like to give the microphone over to Marilyn, and she's going to give us a few words. Miss Marilyn Pete, Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics, 1974-75.
I feel like I represented our people very well, and I'd like to welcome the 1975 World Eskimo Indian Olympics Queen, whoever she may be, and I hope she represents our native people of Alaska and Canada very well when she goes down to Wyoming, when she enters the American Indian Contest. Thank you for a good year.
Miss Marilyn Peake.
She is now taking her final walk down the ramp. Ladies and gentlemen, Marilyn Peake, Miss 1974 Eskimo Indian Olympics. Ladies and gentlemen, the girls have selected Miss Jenny Nathan for Miss Congeniality. Second runner-up for the 1975 World Eskimo Indian Olympics, ladies and gentlemen, to Miss Fairbanks Native Association, Tina Long. First runner-up, and then the queen will be announced. Ladies and gentlemen, the first runner-up for the Olympics queen is
Miss Northern Games, Gladys Alexi. As soon as the one queen is announced, the Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics, I would like to have the Miss Congeniality, the first and second runner-up, when she sits on her crown to surround her, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the 1975 World Eskimo Indian Olympics Queen, please give a big hand to Miss Cook Inlet Native Association, Ginny Nathan.
That was John Angayak, who's an Eskimo musician from the village of Tununuk. This is Mo Wasley, and thank you for listening.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.